Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are at the Costas Inn, established in 1971. I was established in 1968, but I haven't eaten here. I had to think about this. My dad probably was in here about 74, 75, 76. He would bring me shrimp home on Friday afternoons. Him and Mr. Joe would he'd get a ride home from the Point. I got Maryland Lottery scratch-off skin wet and a big machine around the corner. They have the Pac-Mans in there. I got 10 times the cash here. Joe Gold is my guest. He is the general manager of Key Brewing. And did Johnny Allen take my beer?
He did.
He took my positive mental attitude.
Did. I'll get you another one.
What are you doing, man? You give my beer away.
I wasn't touching it.
You know what? John Allen, I gave him a part in my 25th anniversary documentary. Greg Landry at Towson Transfers and Blue Rock Productions came to me a year ago talking about a documentary. I hit him back like February. I said, look, let's get this thing out by April. I'll dive in, do a deep dive with you. And then it came to like who was going to be the documentarian, who's going to be the narrator.
Right.
So I had to ask some friends. So Gina Schock is one of our narrators. Ray Bachman, my longtime producer. Keith Brewer is the voice of God. Mickey Coachella. Mickey was here visiting here with us last time we were here. So all these folks have come together to help me out. Bill Cole from Cole Roofing. But John Allen's been my oldest friend. I mean, I've known John since I was 9 years old, right? So John and I grew up together, and I asked him to do it because he's got that soft voice. And I thought, it, you know, the sad parts of my life, it would be great to have John talk about when, you know, my wife got sick and things like that. So I asked John to do it, and I know he's got professional recording equipment. He's got a whole studio in his house, right? Sure. Drums, microphone, he's a singer, you know, it'd be. And I asked him to do it, and I sent him over the script. And he doesn't say anything to me. And 2 days later, I get it back. He's like, it took me 6 hours. I'm like, dude, it was 4 minutes. He's like, I'm a perfectionist, man. You know, I got to get it perfect. So I thought I was asking him for like a quick favor. You know, something may take 20 minutes for him to do, half an hour maybe. 6 hours later, he's guilted my ass terribly, right? So like the fact that you gave him free beer, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, because I mean, I owe him. You heard me when he left. I'm like, I owe you dinner. Yeah. I owe you, because it took him 6 hours to do this reading for me, and I didn't think I was asking him for like a heavy lift.
Yeah.
You know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I asked Brillhart to read it. 10 minutes later, I got Mike Brillhart. It's back. It's professional. This is what he does all day long. Keith Brewer, Keith, you know Keith from the Ravens. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keith is a professional voiceman. Like, he's so good at it, I felt bad for not paying him for doing it, but I've known him forever, and I gave him a little bit to do. He turned around, like, he's like, I'm really, St. Patrick's Day, I'm really busy, but I'll get this done for you. Next day, I get it done, and it's like God did it. He wasn't born nasty yesterday in Dundalk. And I'm like,
that's good.
Yeah, so the doc comes out in a couple of weeks. I'm hoping to have it out for the NFL draft. Joe Gold's here. Todd Crandall's here. Todd, you want to come up? You just want to come do it, or you want to chill out? Because I'm eating soup. You want some of this? I got local businesses here. Come on up. Get the headset here. We'll make room for you. You got to pull the chair around. I told Todd to be here at 12:30. He's early. I got crab soup. Put that on for yourself there. I mean, so this is the part of Dundalk that I love. When I did the show here at, once I put the microphone up, he's got to get his drink. You want your phone too? I know one thing that's not going to happen during this segment. Nobody's going to call and say the Key Bridge got hit and fell. That already happened this
month.
That's done. Which is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Todd and I, how long have we been knowing each other? Tell Joe. Because he thinks I know everybody in Dundalk. I kind of do. But
you kind of do.
Come a little closer. That's fine. We'll make room for it.
Come in tight?
Yeah, it's all right. I want you to be in the shot. That's all.
I had to get a caffeinated drink here because on air with you is a whole experience, and you got to keep up.
I am. Dude, if I lived in your district, I would wear your ass out. Because I know you. I wear you out when I'm in your district, right? Just showing up here. How are you? And I'm going to eat a little soup and just...
So, yeah.
You guys know each other, yes?
We have met numerous
times.
Okay, fair enough.
Briefly each time, because you're so
Todd,
busy with
Todd.
Everybody else.
He ain't from around here. He's from the other side of the bridge.
No,
I haven't.
Yes.
But he's found God country. He's sitting right here in Dundalk.
That's right.
So
yeah.
It's a good thing.
He knows what's good. It's like I do when I'm eating Costas.
I mean, you're always so busy when I meet you at events and stuff like that. But you've been over to the brewery for sure.
I have. Last time I was there was Friday when Key Brewing did the fundraiser.
Yep. I'm the general manager over there.
So that's right. That's right, Jeff. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what, a year in? Something like
10 months, yeah. 10 months.
So
let's say a year,
Yeah, you guys did an absolutely incredible job over there.
I know about it.
There must have been 1,000 people there.
At least.
It was more than that.
I figured I'd have to park at Costas to walk, probably.
Yeah, and Nestor, we've known each other for a long time. Geez, dating back to junior high.
I think I've known you since 1980. Your dad and wrestling and the Hawks. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. A lot of my friends wrestle for the Hawks. I went and wrestled in the Dundalk High, but yeah.
Yep, and we've stayed in touch, and what happened at Key Brewing last Friday was just indicative of the strength of our community. It's just, and new people that come into the area like Key Brewing and various other businesses have joined businesses like the one we're sitting in that become part of the fabric of the community, and Key Brewing has just embraced that, and I think embraced the blue-collar, hardworking, proud people that we are, and I think that this community has certainly shown that there is strength here through adversity.
Absolutely.
That we can rally with each other. We might disagree and fight tooth and nail in the alley in your old neighborhood where you grew up, and where you grew up, Nestor. We could meet each other's neighbors in the alley and go at it. But when times get tough, we pull together, and we've always been able to do that. And I'm proud of our whole community for how they've just rallied behind the families, and rallied behind the port workers, and really expressed a lot of sentiment for the Key Bridge. And I don't think that we realized that it was such a huge part of our identity.
Until
it was gone. We took it for granted. It was the bridge that we used, but it was part of our skyline.
It's been 13 days, right? It's been 2 weeks, right?
A week ago. Yeah. 2 weeks ago today.
14 today. Days. It's been 14 days.
14 days, yeah.
And I was in Orlando, Florida. I was down there covering the Orioles and at the NFL owners meeting. And I got a text at 5:50 in the morning from my web developer. And I thought, she had three texts. At 5:55 in the morning, I wake up, I got my glass, I look down. Luke's in the other bed, we're rooming together, we're on the road. I look down and I got three texts from Jessica. And I'm thinking, my website must have went down in the middle of the night. Why would she be texting me? Her husband's on the response team. He's one of the divers, very involved.
God bless him.
So he was down there 3 a.m. So her text came to me at 3:30 in the morning. She sent me a headline from The Guardian in the UK. You mentioned Paris.
Yep.
Paris was how Key Brewing found out about it. We talked about it in the last segment that Europe woke up earlier and started texting local people here backward because they knew about it. We were asleep. So I woke up at 5:35, 5:40 in the morning, and I got three headlines that the Key Bridge fell. And this is Jessica telling me, this is not a April Fool's joke. She's a serious person, Jessica. Hartford Designs, my queen. And I look down, it's 5, and I'm like, remote control, I'm in the Marriott, boom, put the TV on, CNN, boom, and there's Johnny Yap. Like, first thing I saw was Johnny Yap. And I'm like, I'm in Orlando, the lights are off, I'm in this hotel room, kids aren't even up screaming yet, 6 in the morning. And I'm looking, and I'm trying to process it. And I had to run Luke over to the NFC champion, or NFC coaches breakfast. So he was getting ready, and I had to run him out the door, and I ran him over, and I came back. 10 minutes over to the hotel, came back, probably was back by 7:30, maybe 7 o'clock. And CNN's still on. I'm sitting there, and I'm all alone in the hotel room, 80 degrees out, and I can't stop looking at it, and I'm on a timeline. And I just started sobbing, man. Like, I lost it in a hotel room, and I'm like, what is this? What is this emotion, But where were you, Todd? You're one of the guys that gets the bat phone, right? You get a bat phone call.
Yeah, the phone was going off. I think the first messages started rolling about 3 a.m.
So your phone's got to be on, right?
It's
elected,
on. Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah, that's my that's my alarm clock as well.
Believe me, when Johnny O was standing there on my national television at 5:45 in the morning, I knew your phones are on, man.
So the message was rolling in, and my thought was, well, what in the world's going on? That hour of the morning, like you, flipped on the news and saw it. And made a couple of phone calls, one to our local police precinct, Precinct 12.
They were already awake.
And then to,
they were awake.
And then to my staff, and then I went down to the...
They were not awake, right? You're waking people up.
Staff was awake. I headed straight to the command center, which was at the end of Browning Highway at the Maryland State Police Building there, and or MDOT building. And I had seen the footage on the news, and I had seen the pictures that the media was showing. And the command center is inside of the bridge. It's right at the foot of our side of the bridge. Mm-hmm. And to see that close up and personally, I just went out to the point and just looked it over for a while and tried to take it all in. It was just surreal. It was this iconic piece of architecture that, as I said, I think we took for granted is really part of our community's identity. And we, I just stood out there by myself and just tried
to take it all in. That's Dundalk's Bridge. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't realize that until it was down. I was like, that's Dundalk's Bridge.
Yeah. We claim everything.
You know? No, but we don't claim Essex. I got nothing to do with that. Trust me.
I claim that.
Well, I don't. I'm not trying to get voted on over there. You are.
But. Part of my constituency.
Yeah.
But, and then just it was kind of surreal, and it was hard emotionally to put it together. And we knew at that point that the workers were probably gone. That was tough to take as well. And then to add to the surreal part of the day, I'm now in a briefing with the county executive, the mayor, the governor, two U.S. senators, and two congressmen, the comptroller of Maryland, and various other officials from various other agencies. And that was, this is like...
Yeah, this is way bigger than...
This is
looks.
Big.
Well, you knew the president was going to be here in a week, and the feds were going to be here, and the Army Corps... I mean, I had Bill Cole on the morning after it happened. We were talking Army Corps engineer, like right away.
Yeah, they were on it.
You knew this was going to be a federal project.
It was evident to me, just based on the personnel that was there that first day on Tuesday at the command center. There were at least 200 people there from various agencies: FBI, Homeland Security,
Transportation.
Army Corps of Engineers, MDOT, U.S. Department of Transportation, Secretary Buttigieg. Buttigieg, yeah. Never get his name right. Sorry. So just the level of professionalism that I saw, and I didn't see any interagency conflict. I didn't see where people were stepping on each other's toes. One gentleman, when I walked in, was law enforcement from somewhere, and he knew me from somewhere, and he said, "You know, Todd, I don't really know what I'm doing." And then someone overheard that and said, "Neither do any of us."
Right.
But
there's no playbook for this. There's no handbook for this.
Well, they do train. And they train for a day that they hope never comes. And it was clear that they had trained for this. And and they were scrambling to put together the response team. And we were briefed throughout the day. And it was a very tough day. Local businesses were already coming out to provide food for the first responders. Like I said, there were 200 people there at a spur of the moment,
mm-hmm.
and they were taken care of by members of our community. Just make sure they had enough food to keep them going, and different places offered up places for the divers to change clothes and get a warm cup of coffee, stuff like that. Just an amazing response.
Well, in those first couple of hours before the sun came up, I can't, when you still feel like you could save a life or
that was
and not really realizing how many people were on the bridge.
Amazing.
When I saw the bridge went down, the first thing I saw, cars were going across it. It's miraculous they shut those gates in that 30 seconds. Really.
The Mayday went out. You know more than me. But, I mean, the fact that two workers survived.
Right.
That's incredible.
One swam to shore, apparently.
That's
amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah. The response of the police that closed the bridge once the Mayday went out was... heroic. The mm-hmm. attempts that divers made originally was heroic. We got the bad news later on that afternoon that the structure was so unsafe that divers could not get to where they thought that people might be.
And that stuff's still moving underwater. Sure.
Yeah, it's just a structurally unsafe. You move one piece and you could have 100 tons of bridge material.
Yeah, you don't want to add tragedy on top of a tragedy.
So they were taking every precaution that they could in trying to recover.
And it's dark. You can't even assess at that point.
Even in bright sunlight, without weather or anything, it's the water's very murky, and of course you have the sediment that is in the water just based on the collapse. So visibility was definitely difficult. I've talked to some first responders that were out there, and they wanted to be in the water as soon as they could. That was their mission, is to rescue and recover. Then it moved to recovery.
They have a playbook for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a playbook.
They do. And that's in all that I saw was people working together, which was just refreshing. And
a lot of people from all over the world reached to me. Todd Crandall's here. Joe Gold from Keep Brewing as well. We're at Costas. And people reaching for me from everywhere. And I specifically remember my Wise Markets rep, Jamie, who I love, reached to me because we were just, you've been talking before, and she said, how's it going down there? I'm like, you know, we stick together then. Like, day one, I'm like, man, we stick together. That's why I came down here and drank on Wednesday night, had dinner with my wife the first day. We had planned on going somewhere else for dinner, and I'm like, nah, we got to get out of Dundalk. We got to get out of here. Figure it out, you know, and I still haven't looked. I'm a coward about it. I couldn't see it the first time I looked for it. The second time, I was on my phone. I was driving out of the city. And I came through the tunnel, and I just kept going. And I realized there's no toll booth anymore, right? So keep going. I don't live downtown anymore. I don't take the tunnel as much as I used to. I'm on the Towson side. I'll take the top side of the Beltway going to BWI. But I didn't look up. And I realized, like, when I got to the split at 8 and I got to, like, Moravia, I'm like, oh, I didn't look.
You didn't look to see
it. I didn't look.
When he left,
I'm probably going to see it for the first time today because I'm going back after the Oriole game. Where I would always see it is like Walmart, North Point Boulevard, Colgate, down Merritt Boulevard. You would just see it rise above the horizon because you're high up.
Well, I remember just as a kid just being the bridge was built in 77.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes us, what,
8? I was 68. So. Yeah, I was 9 years old.
I'm a bit old.
You were 8, I was 9. You were 9, I was 8, I think. And
Joe helped build the bridge.
You remember, if you remember as a kid, you could see it clearly from the top of Fate Avenue.
It was 45th Street, Gina Schock's neighborhood down there.
Used to live right off of in between German Hill and Fate.
Absolutely, it's your family place.
Right, and you could be at the top of that hill and see it. And there are various other viewpoints around the community where you could see the bridge, and it was just, as I said, just part of our skyline. Mm-hmm. So. I did have a few people share with me, and I've done this too. It's like, I'll just pop over the bridge, go to Glen Burnie. I want to go to Dick's Sporting Goods.
Joe brought the map here. You know, when you see the map on Google Maps,
it's removed.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that post. Someone posted on Facebook.
I mean, there were so many thoughts in the early. First thing is survivors, death, destruction, terrorism that pops in, and because. The terrorism part, I started getting the whack job, no offense on the political front, but the whack job people were hitting me in Orlando. I'm at the airport, and a friend sending me Laura Logan text about terrorism and all this stuff. This is 3-4 hours later. These people have no clue about any of it. I said, you want me to retweet this crap? No, I'm not doing that. But immediately, in the first hour, before it became a meme or whatever, I thought, of all the times we've had orange alerts, we've had serious federal alerts, the tunnels have always been targets, right? Like that if you damage the tunnel, you would damage the port, you would damage the country, right? Mm-hmm. So when it went down, I thought to myself, it would be a very credible way to hurt our economy, a very credible way to hurt the port, right? To hurt industry in our country. So that was always a target. So the minute it happened, I'm trying to get my equilibrium. Like, how the hell does a bridge go down? Like, you know, I mean, most people the first time they saw it thought it was fake. It looked like an AI generated craziness.
It just fell too easily, like dominoes.
So all of this for me, with the immediate, the death, I'm sobbing, I'm in the hotel. Then I started to think about, oh my God, the port's shut, right? So, and the transportation shut. Then I thought, the bridge is gone. It's not coming back. How are people going to get from point A to point B? And then I thought about people like you, Todd, and people on this peninsula. Johnny O lives down here. All my business friends down here. That the trapped part of what would it look like without that road. But then I thought about Trade Point and my dad working at the point, and how hard Jim Smith, Kevin Kamenich, Johnny O, every elected, everybody that's out here, every Minnick, Arnick, DePazzo, everybody that came before you, Stone, I know all these names. I voted for or against all these people. Some Democrats in there, Crandall, I'll give you as well. But
it's okay.
That
later. That's all right.
Good people, good Democrats down here. That's fine. But in all sincerity, how hard we all had to work to get industry back down here, to get employment back down here, to get hope back down here, to get jobs back down here, right? That's what had me crying.
Well, it has been a long road, and that's part of the adversity that you and I have talked about before on your show.
This giant road we have back here that nobody used because all the industry went, it was built for 100,000 people to be working there.
We lost our job base. Bethlehem Steel, mm-hmm. GM gone, and we fought through that adversity, and we basically hit rock bottom. The jobs were gone, property values are falling, home ownership is down, and Trade Point has been a huge spark for the economy locally and regionally. There's about 15,000.
And businesses like Keep the side we're going to make
small
home
business.
Here. Jiggy
well,
Lee's.
Exactly.
I'm thinking of places to just pull out Johnny's. I hit the pull out Johnny's guys
right.
to yep. come down today because they hit me for their grand opening.
So there's business happening down here. Absolutely.
There's been
a lot of exciting things happening. And Trade Point, I think, it was a spark because it showed the global business community and especially the regional business community that we were ripe for investment and this is a good place to come.
And there's a port.
And with respect to the port, Trade Point was the only accessible port operation once the bridge fell down.
Yeah, outside the bridge.
So Trade Point, right, exactly. So they're more at the end of the Patapsco. You don't have to go under the bridge in order to reach their port facility. Now, they certainly don't have the infrastructure that Seagirt and Dundalk.
The roll-on.
So they're doing roll-on, roll-off, and they've been able to, and they also do commodities like chicken feed, coal, things like that on the old heavy ore pier that was part of the shipyard back when we were kids.
I love inviting smart people on. They got the answers, right?
They
do. It's unlearned stuff.
So they
He's
were
from Dundalk. He's smart.
They were able to work out a partnership with the port to at least accept some of the commodities and vehicles that are coming in. Drake Point was geographically suited to do that. Trade Point also has a plan to develop a container port on their property at the old Cope Point, which has been a subject of sort of environmental controversy and a subject of controversy for years. But they're going through their due diligence right now to create a container port, not to compete with the Port of Baltimore, but essentially to make the Port of Baltimore even bigger and better than it was, so we can accept more goods. And they're going to be they're in partnership with the largest shipping company in the world, with MSC, to create that container port. So that is going to bring another 1,500 jobs, longshoremen jobs. That's probably a conservative estimate, plus the other jobs that go along with it.
How many folks are employed down there right now?
About 15,000. So in 10
And
years,
how many were, how many, and 11 years ago it was zero.
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 11 years, zero. There are about 15,000 people in a variety of jobs. The logistics jobs like Amazon. Under Armour, McCormick, they're down there. But Purdue is down there with chicken feed coming in. There's a company called Gotham Greens there that's growing hydroponic lettuce and I think some other vegetables for distribution to restaurants. So they're employing botanists and people that are schooled in agriculture. There's a water bottling plant down there. So there's a variety of different jobs. And if wind energy becomes viable and the offshore wind project that is proposed for off of Ocean City
Trade Point has the opportunity to be the hub of the wind industry for the whole East Coast, which means welding jobs, manufacturing jobs. There's even talk of fabricating steel at that site.
Wouldn't that be something?
Which is exactly.
Bring it back again.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly.
Well,
so,
I mean, a thought I had, not to get in the middle
no,
of this
I want you in the middle of this conversation.
So when the bridge was built in 72 to 77, I believe Bethlehem Steel was supplying steel still then.
So I've asked that question. Bethlehem Steel was making steel.
How could that bridge get built without Bethlehem Steel steel?
Well, Bethlehem at the Spurs Point facility, I was just talking with someone that was down, and Nestor's father worked there, my father worked there. They didn't do structural steel at Sparrow's Point. So any of the structural steel could have very well been made by Bethlehem Steel, but probably in one of their other plants.
Got it, okay.
Now, they
made a different kind of steel.
They did.
Okay.
So it is possible. There is some steel plate that was part of that bridge construction. That could have very well come out of Sparrow's Point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bethlehem Steel as a corporation is no longer around, so those records may be somewhere.
Yeah.
So we're not sure.
Trust me, my mom got the pension until 5 years ago, so I know all about how they're not around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that little logo on the paychecks when I was a little boy. You know,
yeah.
Everything ever went in my mouth came from Bethlehem Steel, right? Like literally.
that
was it.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That was
me
it.
Too.
That was it.
Me too. So it is conceivable, but.
Yeah, the only reason I thought of that is there was a gentleman at our fundraiser who did work on the bridge,
mm-hmm.
and he was one of the workers, and he said some of the steel came from Bethlehem Steel.
Hey, tell me about your party down there, because you threw that big party two Fridays ago, Keep Brewing. What thousand people? Where the hell did they park? I mean, was it literally overwhelming? Was it the biggest crowd you've ever seen at your place? Because you've done some car shows.
It was one of the biggest events we ever hosted at Keep Brewing. You get lucky, you have a sizable parking lot on the front of the building, and then we have a satellite parking lot on the side. And then Gray's Road is open to the public. So we parked them in our satellite parking lot as much as we could. The back parking lot was where the crowd was, and the food trucks and stuff, and we saw what was going on there. And then we had people, the business next to us loaned us their parking lot, and then we had people on the road. And I was never up this far, but I had confirmed reports that people parked at least a mile away from us on Gray's Road and walk.
Well, that's how bad they wanted to support the cause. That's who we are. That's who we are as people. It really is.
Yep.
Makes me proud of being from Dundalk. I mean, I'm proud every day. Everybody knows me, knows that. And we kid around about politics and this and that. And
right.
We can go back and forth. But when something like this happens, everybody wants to help.
The amazing thing is we pulled an auction together. We had the bands play for free. We donated our time and our facility. We sold beer, so we gave proceeds. There was a member of T-shirt made, the sales went to the fund. And so right now we're probably $31,000 raised in that one event.
Nice.
Which is pretty damn good for a little small.
Well,
place
we got spring and summer coming. We're going to good weather. Joe Gold's over at Key Brewing. I would hold up the Key positive mental act, but John Allen stole my beer. So you bring friends at Dundalk, you leave beer laying around, it's going to disappear.
Yeah.
Now, Todd Crandall, of course, a councilman, we're in the 7th district, right? I had to look that
seventh
number
district,
up.
7th district, Ballmer County.
Yeah. I always get the numbers confused. I had Zach Blanchard on running for city council. I'm like, wait, okay, 11. The numbers all, mixed together. So 7, tell everybody about your district. Because I'm in Dundalk, I'm a Dundalk guy. I don't just poop on Essex, I poop on Patapsco, all of them. But I know you do serve Essex, and I want to point that out.
So, the 7th District in Baltimore County is the southeastern part of the horseshoe of Baltimore mm-hmm. County that rings Baltimore City. So I represent Dundalk, Essex, Sparrows Point, Edgemere, Fort Howard, a little bit of Rosedale.
Okay.
So it's about 130,000 people in the district that I'm fortunate to represent. It's the best district in Baltimore County, and I don't care what the other members say.
That's
I'm not trying to, win votes or anything, but, we are a passionate people. And sometimes it takes an event like this to bring us together and remind us how special a place that we actually have. And, the people in the 7th District are salt of the earth people. Some of them might be millionaires. Some of them are just scraping by. But they're all salt of the earth. They're all coming from the same standpoint that I care about my community, I care about my little neighborhood, and if somebody's in need, we help.
Well,
that's what we do.
We saw that at the Key Brewing for sure.
For sure, man. Well, it's good to have you guys. I want to go watch the ball game. You know the Orioles play. You know about this? Am I leaving anything out here? We got elections coming up. We got things happening. But like, we had the legislature breaking apart on Monday. We got the Orioles under new ownership. You know, which I know you're happy about because you're a sports guy.
So I am very, very happy about that. Just had my fantasy baseball draft.
Who's your keep? You got Ohtani?
No, American League only.
American League only.
I got some Colton Cowser, hoping that I'm not hoping for an injury, but I'm hoping he finds some time in the lineup. And Dean Kramer, I like. They're my big Orioles. Couldn't get Gunner. Couldn't get Adley.
Cost too much. You sound like Rubenstein. Yeah. Actually, you sound more like Angelos.
I was going to say
I'm not going there. From a political perspective, not once has it been mentioned in the political response to this tragedy that about party. And I hope it doesn't get there on a national level because there's things that Congress needs to do.
Well, there's some ugly stuff with Wes and Brandon dealing with racism. That
has no place.
But that's not party. Yeah.
Party has no place in this. And,
it wasn't a Democratic or Republican bridge.
It was not. And the people affected are largely not political anyway. So
they just want to get to work and get their job?
Exactly.
Pete wants to get his crabs in the airport in that time of year? No.
It's never been mentioned in the 2 weeks that I've been involved that the party makes any – it's not even part of the conversation.
Look, I've been nice to you for 30 minutes and you're a Republican. That shows I'm a centrist here, you know? I'm reaching across the aisle here, Todd.
That's a conversation for another day.
That's another day. Yeah.
You're elected to do a job, and this is a time when there's no room for partisanship, and there hasn't been any of that. But I do want to let your viewers and listeners know, if you're a Baltimore County resident, or even if you're not, Baltimore County is a web page up on the county website. If you go to baltimorecountymd.gov, right on the top is a link to, I think it's called FSK Resources, and any business that has been impacted by this, if you know the families, if you know some of the first responders, there's a mental health emergency line on there, 988, for people that might need some help getting through this, but there's a ton of different resources from the Small Business Administration site that was set up in Dundalk to help businesses. So there's all.
It is amazing how quick all this. We're 14 days into this, and we're talking about it like we attacked it in every way we could, other than rebuilding the bridge in 5 minutes, which isn't going to happen.
Right.
But we're dredging. We're trying to get the port open. It just feels like if Don Mohler were here right now, he would be. Proud of all the good elements of government. Don's a believer in government and the power of government to do well, and that's his thought from being a principal all the way through. Is like sometimes government fails us, right? We can all point that out. We all be pissed off about things, and you know politicians have their own place right next to sports radio show hosts with sports owners and used car salesmen, that sort of thing. But when it works and when we all see it. I mean, I put a tweet up the morning of opening day about Wes Moore, and I got boxed out of Wes's press conference. I'm a little pissed. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Not even a little bit. I don't laugh about it either. It pisses me off, like for real.
Right.
But he and Brandon, they had that picture of them hugging. I said, man, if you see these guys today on opening day, tell them they're doing a good job because like this was hard. This was something that nobody could ever predict. You know, Martin O'Malley always tells a story. About being down at the down in Crisfield at their little clam bake when the train caught on fire in the tunnel, and he had been the mayor. Yeah. He told me a story in the air. It's a funny story, but it's not funny at all. Right. He is the governor of the state. He had been the mayor of Baltimore and didn't know that there was a tunnel under the city. Like even as the mayor, he didn't know it. So like when these emergencies, these crazy things that you talk about all these years, cities on fire, you know Freddie Gray, trains on. Bridge falling? No, we didn't have that on the dance card. And nobody's ready for that at 3 o'clock in the morning. Not the councilman, not the county executive, not Diver. Nobody's ready for that. But 2 weeks after this, you know, I give us high marks for the way we've come to the – just what you've done at your place, what everybody's doing.
I think the response from all involved has been outstanding. It really did. And, no, we did not plan for it, which is obvious. But resources were put together quickly. The response was almost right away. And I think that the response is still evolving. There are things that may have not been considered yet in terms of traffic patterns, in terms of rebuilding the bridge, getting the port open. What does that operate?
It has felt sensible to me the first 2 weeks, given this circumstances.
I think that,
it's felt like the response has been what, as a citizen, I would want. Now, how this comes together in the next 6 months, year, 3 years, I saw the first lady opening day. I did not see Wes, but I saw her. And, you know, she's talking to me. I'm Dundalk guy. I'm like, man, it's going to take, you know, 5-6 years. She said, better not.
Yeah.
And that's what she said to me. Better not take 5 or 6 years. And I'm like, I like to hear that from Wes Moore's wife. I do.
I would hope that given modern technology, modern construction techniques, that we could move a lot faster.
I'd love to be wowed by it. I know you would be involved here.
Yeah, well, I want to share a story with you guys real quick, just an image of the bridge. You're a bit younger than most of them. So in bicentennial year, okay, 76, the bridge was fully constructed. It wasn't open yet, but it was fully constructed. And the city had a fireworks display on 4th of July morning, and they let people sleep in Fort McHenry the night before. So I spent the night at Fort McHenry the night before to see the Dawn's Early Light fireworks.
That's cool.
And the amazing part was, I had no clue, wasn't looking for the bridge, but the sun comes up, and it's under the bridge, and then the fireworks went off. And I mean, I was like, that image is seared in my head now that the bridge is gone. It was a memory before, but now.
But you never thought about it.
Never. But until that, and I'm like, oh my God, you're right. The sun came up, the bridge was there, and then the fireworks went off.
That's amazing.
The thing that freaks me out is how many places you could see it from.
Yeah.
From where I live and work and play my whole life. And that's all I can think about because I haven't seen it yet. I've said this again. I've said it 10 times today. I haven't seen it yet. But in my mind, how many places did I see the top of that bridge in Dundalk? If you're driving down Merritt Boulevard, taking my mother to IHOP, like literally you look over above Merritt, Peninsula Highway, and you just see it. It's just there. It's always there.
I mean, you've been on site. It's good. So I'm from Baltimore, native. So I went to Fort Armstead the first day because it hadn't closed yet because I'm from that side of the bridge. So I wanted to see what it looked like from Fort Armstead. Now that fort's closed right now because it's a staging site.
Correct.
And then at Trade Point Atlantic, coming to work one day, I went over to look at it from that side. I wanted to see the perspectives of something that I grew up with, like you guys.
The thing that flipped me out, I'm in Orlando, and I got these wackos telling me terrorism, and waiting on the plane. I got on a plane 3 hours early. We got home way early that night. My wife had a because I got on earlier nonstop. I was on this connection with Luke. Jump on the plane, and as I'm sitting on the plane, like it's 5 o'clock on that Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I wasn't supposed to fly home until like 8 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, I'm on the plane. I look down. Dan Rogers put up a picture that someone who had flown that morning of it. Mm. And when I saw the skyline, it was from the Dundalk side, too. Mm. It was clearly a plane that was coming this way to land, the way they would always go right above
the
Cosmos.
And they come up the
Taps. And they would land from the east toward the west, right? Mm. Land going where the Key Bridge would be on your right. You see the smokestacks.
Yeah, it goes up to Severn.
Right. You just land over Fort Smallwood Road, literally going in that way. Mm. My plane didn't go that way. But I got on the plane and I looked at this picture and I thought, man, I'm an hour and a half away from flying over that. I've been in the room crying. I'm going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be a mess. And everybody was blowing my phone up. Like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, I'm in Florida. Don't worry about me. Worry about the people that were there. But I guess that puts my iconic Baltimore thing that anything that happens in Baltimore, if you know me, must have happened to me. It's like my wife, every time she sees a New Hampshire license plate, she's like, I probably know them.
right. Yeah.
It's like Dundalk people.
No,
you
take it personal. If it's happened in Baltimore, you take it.
You talk about that fireworks thing. You bought hair on the back of my neck stood up about that. Because my wife, she's flying back tonight. She went up for the eclipse on Monday. Man. She went up to the Canadian border, and she completely lucked out. She got the wide open sky. No one anywhere. Like, I saw, she stayed at a little bed and breakfast, at, like, in a cornfield.
Yeah.
In the middle. She's 3 miles from the Canadian border. She has picked, she called me, like she's like, it was the most emotional, crazy thing I've ever seen in my life. And I feel awful because I wanted to go. I didn't go. I almost got in the car and drove to Rochester. So you talk about these moments you don't forget with something you see. Our eyes are powerful, man. You know, once you see it, you can't not,
can't
see,
not
it.
See it.
You can't not see it.
No.
That's probably the hardest part of the bridge. So let's get it back up quick, all right? Todd Crandall, he is the elected on the other side of the fence. We get along just famously after 40 years. But what's going on? Give me a little Dundalk update before I throw you out of here. Because there are other things going on. If I would have had you on the day before the bridge collapsed, you would have had things to tell me that are about Dundalk. What's going on at the plant? At the I come by and smell it, so I got to ask you about it. I saved that to the end.
You've been doing the plant?
Yeah, you've been doing, you're on the front end of being grouchy about that.
I'm a little less grouchy.
Okay.
The plant has been in compliance, to my knowledge, they've been in compliance with the effluent that the plant's been putting out. It was a battle for a while. You and I talked about it on the show, where, you know, we weren't getting great response, and the plant was mismanaged to the point where it was beyond fixing.
I have a childhood friend, one of my best friends in the world, like that I've known that I was 3 years old. He and I, we were drinking together in Dundalk. You can imagine that. Yeah, I know you're. You know,
I can imagine.
But not at your place because we got trapped. You'll appreciate this, Todd. I was at the Heritage Fair. We got trapped.
Yeah,
we got trapped a year and a half ago. So it was almost 2 summers ago. And we kind of reunited. Hey, wait, we had a beer. It's going to rain. Oh, shit, let's go. We wound up over at that airport inn, the old airport inn, right? I went because Brillhart was throwing a party over there that night.
Mike. Mike and a party? No way.
It was Mike's party. By the way, Mike is one of the narrators of my 25th anniversary documentary. So I want to give Mike some love. I love you, Mike Brillhart. Gina Schock, John Allen, Keith Brewer, Ray Bachman, Mickey Coachella. They're the narrators. So I want to give some thanks. But I was with my buddy who worked at the plant his whole life. It's the only job he ever had. We grew up together in Colgate. He took a job there when he was friggin' 19. Like, literally, he was a kid. And he worked there all of his 30, you know, worked there his whole life. And he told me, sat with me that night drinking beer and telling me how effed up it was.
Yeah.
He's like, it's so, he said, they brought people in that don't know what they're doing, and it's too important a job to not know what they're doing. And that, it, like, he's like, it drove him crazy at the end of his turn there that things weren't being done right. And he literally told me about that, and it kind of scares the scares the poop out of me.
I got you. Yeah.
No, he wasn't wrong. It was it was so bad that holding tanks that needed to be regular maintenance had trees growing out. It was unbelievable. You could just tell that the place had not been taken care of. There were, I think, either. Going back a little bit away, I think it was nine. There were nine sort of filtration things. I'm not.
Is it a financial oversight issue? I mean, what as a government do we have to pay to get clean water? I mean, I talk about Liberty Pure all the time.
Never,
like clean water and sewage is huge.
Budget was never the problem. It was complacency. It was lack of regulatory oversight from Baltimore City. It was, and I think your friend probably hit the nail on the head. It had people in jobs of responsibility that didn't know what they were doing. And it was pretty obvious that, I mean, when you have nine filtration units and only two are operable, that's not
if you're a pizza shop and you have nine pizza ovens and only two are cooking, you ain't even making pizza.
Right. So,
like, literally, you're not really a business.
So
that's not a serious thing.
The plant has been in compliance and all the appropriate.
All nine things are running now. We know this.
I believe they are.
Okay.
I don't know if it's 9 or 11, but So the other thing that's going on that folks should be aware of is the midge fly, which I never knew about until I got elected, is a nuisance fly on Back River and. The county and the state got together after some years of political wrangling to treat those the midge fly, they swarm and they are a huge nuisance, and people aren't able to like just even hang out in their backyards or their boats on Back River. So the county, with state cooperation, is applying a larvicide that only affects the midge fly. It's not poison.
Science.
It's a naturally occurring substance. So if folks around Back River, Essex, Dundalk side, both sides see a helicopter flying around and dropping things in the river, that's that treatment. So that's a another sort of, there was a lot of political wrangling between previous administrations on the state and local level. And we were finally able to get that worked out. And we're seeing that nuisance fly population drop drastically in the area, which is good for the businesses, good for the residents.
Well, I'm stepping on those other ones that are eating the trees, the pretty red ones. My wife's out.
Those shouldn't be.
They're pretty. Exactly.
And Trade Point keeps humming along. And I just met with a gentleman this morning who is looking to invest in the area and is looking for opportunities to invest in residential development. So it's something that we've been focused on for the last decade is reinvigorating our older housing stock.
That it's a good place to live. My son lives here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Dundalk's a good place to live.
So yeah. So
look at how we turned out.
Continue to. There might be some disputes on how we turned out, but
different but the same.
We're still a community. We have challenges. There's no question. As one of the older parts of Baltimore County, we have some both public and privately owned areas that are in need of some TLC, in need of some investment. So we're not done yet. We have a ways to go, but the job base has been created. We are on the map in terms of being a viable place to invest, where investors can come in and do right by the community and make a profit all at the same time. And that hasn't always been the case in the last couple of decades. I'm definitely bullish on the future of our district. We're kind of back on the map. We're not ignored.
Well, I mean, I would say that's something to say, because I mean
we've always been ignored, but yeah, we're not ignored any longer. People are paying attention to us.
Well, that's the thing with the tragedy.
Keep Brewing. It's been
with this tragedy also. I mean, and I've seen you in the news at Keep Brewing. I've tried to keep Costas in the light. I saw what Tiki Lees was doing. I invited again Johnny O. Westmore. I think all the electeds and different people will be down here to shine a light on it, and I hope that brings Key more. Yeah. I hope it invigorates this area, so whenever that bridge goes back up, 10 minutes from now, 5 years from now, somewhere between 10 minutes and 5 years from now, when that bridge goes back up, that you find this to be a healthier area. And the things you talked about with getting governmental help if you need it down here to keep these businesses thriving down here. Because I know what it looks like when it went dead down here. We all do, right?
We do. We hit rock bottom. We do. And you know the coolest thing that Key Brewing does? Every piece of their swag and every can they put out
has the word Dundalk.
Says Dundalk, Maryland on it.
Yeah,
which is pretty awesome.
I need a positive mental attitude shirt that says Dundalk on it. I'll wear that. Joe Gold is here. Tell me how long you're open and what you're opening. I find Key Beer everywhere. I mean, I bought it over at Drug City when I get
it. They support. The tap room's open Thursday to Sundays. We have live music every Saturday. Come on by and take a visit. We're a beautiful beer oasis right at the end of a long road next to Sparrowpoint Country.
And you get crabs here on the way over and on the way out, too.
You can eat them at our place.
Can you?
I've done it. Pete gives me a dozen crabs and go back to the brewery and eat them and drink the beer.
Dundalk. Where else are you doing that? They ain't doing that in Glen Burnie. I'll tell you that right now.
It is. Yeah, we have Dundalk calling on tap here at Costas.
I'm a positive mental attitude.
Well, I get you another
one. I'm more about a pilsner.
I like it.
John Allen, stealing my beer. Hope he's enjoying it. Ty Crandall, he's here from the 7th. He's our councilman on this side of town, and trying to keep the Key Bridge situation in the light for people, because it has been 2 weeks, letting people know, come out, support local businesses like Joe and the good folks over here at Key Brewing, as well as anybody else. And if you need some hints on where to get a good snowball in a peninsula or something, I'm good. I know my way around down here. I haven't studied Edgemere as much lately, but Todd will give you some information on that.
There we go.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming
out.
Joe, I appreciate you as well. A little positive mental attitude.
Yes, sir.
I am here on behalf of the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, as well as Jiffy Lube Multicare. I had the 10 times scratch-offs. Orioles game on here. How about them O's, huh?
Hey, man, looking good. One error, or we sweep that one too.
Just have Norfolk one come
error. I've been talking a lot about that. I've been saying he got Colton Cowser on his rotisserie team.
That's right.
I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. We are at Costas Inn. Come down and get a bowl of. By the way, it's a pretty good segment. I polish off a whole cup of Maryland crab soup here. Back for more on WNST. Stay with us.